will be that number, I think it's 49, if I'm not mistaken, which appears on page, somebody help me?
399.
399 in your executive session book, page 399, item number 49 involving Karen Labonte from the city of Cannon Beach. That said, we will hear a staff report in a moment. The person on the line with us whose picture appears on at least our screen is Mr. Mark Wolf, who is representing an attorney representing Ms. Labonte. Am I right, Mr. Wolf?
Yes, that's correct.
Thank you.
Before we move on, Monica, James Burke, doesn't he need to send to the lobby?
Yes.
And all the unknown numbers.
As this is happening, if anybody has been on the line for other executive session items than the one we're considering, you will be placed effectively in our lobby, which means your phone number will be disconnected, and then you'll be called in advance of the time when your item is up so you can rejoin. So we're making sure that the only people involved in this at this time are those involved with this item, number 49. Thank you, Monica.
And
yes, thank
Gilbert
you.
Sylvia as well.
Oh, she just attended.
And I believe Karen Labonte was trying to join by phone. So
she's with us.
See her and keep her on. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
She's with us. All right, so we have...
Let me know as soon as we're ready.
We are. Proceed. We're good to go.
Thank you very much. We will now proceed with this item number 49. The first part of this consideration will be a staff report from Ms. Lisa Kristen. Please proceed.
Thank you, Vice Chair Fistum and Commissioners. Again, for the record, my name is Lisa Kristen. I'm an investigator with the Oregon Government Ethics Commission. In front of you is the matter of Karen Labonte, case number 21-133 ELC, at page 399, item 49 in your meeting book. Initially, I would just like to say, I apologize, there is a typographical error on page 2. Line 11 indicates there were 5 Facebook posts, and actually there are 11. So I just want to make note of that. excuse me, Ms. Labonte is the Public Works Director of the City of Cannon Beach. The complaint filed by a citizen of Cannon Beach alleged that respondent might have attempted to use her position to obtain financial gain for herself or a business with which she is associated, and may also have failed to declare a conflict of interest when the city's Public Works Department purchased goods or services from a company co-owned by Ms. Labonte. The company is Cannon Beach Design Company. Mrs. Labonte and her husband Darwin Turner co-owned Cannon Beach Design Company. Although the complaint specifically referenced 11 apparent purchases by the city from CBDC in goods and services, in order to effectively address all concerns, the commission staff requested a copy of all the transactions between the city and Cannon Beach Design Company between 2017 and 2021. Cannon Beach City Manager Bruce St. Denis submitted a response and a spreadsheet of all purchases made by the city from CBDC from 2016 through March 2021, which is attached to the PR report as Exhibit 4. It should be noted also that this PR report only analyzes any purchases made by the city, such purchases made from CBDC from June 2017 through June 2021, as the commission may not investigate any conduct that occurred more than 4 years before a complaint is filed, for ORS 244-260, subsection 10. Moreover, this report will not address any purchases contained in the spreadsheet made from respondents' business by the city, which were the subject of a previous preliminary review report before this commission in case number 21-020-ELC. The spreadsheet indicates that between June 2017 and March 2021, the city made approximately 111 purchases of goods or services from respondents' business that were not the subject of a prior preliminary review report. Of those, 53 were made by the city's Public Works Department. One column on the spreadsheet provided lists which city officials, which city official ordered the product or service from CBDC. Another column on that spreadsheet indicates which city official signed the claim form on behalf of the city for each purchase from CBDC. according to the spreadsheet, responded in her official capacity, ordered products or services from CBDC on 13 occasions. Also, according to the spreadsheet, respondent signed or co-signed the claim form on 36 purchases from CBDC on behalf of the city, either solo or with Bruce St. Denis, the city manager. It should also be noted that the relevant portion of the city spreadsheet, excluding purchases covered by prior preliminary review and those beyond 4 years prior to the filing of this complaint, contained 20 instances in which the ordered column is left blank, and 28 instances which simply indicate that Public Works is the party that ordered goods or services from CBDC. Commission staff requested invoices for all of the purchases made by the City Public Works Department for the time period at issue. 11 invoices from CBDC regarding purchases made by the city, and 6 city claim for payment forms representing 15 city purchases were tendered by respondent on July 13, 2021, and are attached to the PR report as Exhibit 5. Although the statements of city personnel indicate that respondent's involvement in purchases by the city ended in January 2020 per a system put in place by Mr. St. Denis, that new policy does not address the 18 pre-2020 purchases ordered or claimed by respondent, nor the 21 pre-2020 orders made by blank or Public Works, as noted in the spreadsheet. As well, the spreadsheet includes 4 purchases ordered by and 19 purchases claimed by respondent after January of 2020. City personnel also indicate through their statements that a significant portion of the noted orders or claims were in error and that the orders were actually made by Trevor Mount, or that some authorizations slipped through the cracks. Respondent maintains that claims recorded on the spreadsheet do not indicate any official action was taken, but that she was merely approving that the invoice matches with what was originally purchased by the staff member that made the order. The city claim for payment forms that were tendered in this July indicate that respondent signed the form indicating the purchases therein were, quote, authorized by department head, end quote, and the form was then reviewed and signed by the city manager. Commission staff was, however, unable to obtain copies of the actual CBDC invoices and city claim for payment forms regarding all 37 purchases denoted in the city spreadsheet as having been in some manner authorized by respondent in her official capacity. Although 11 CBDC invoices and 6 city claim for payment forms were received by the commission, commission staff has noted. As such, further investigation is warranted to obtain all invoices and forms regarding any purchases made by the city from CBDC during the relevant time frame to determine which specific invoices contained errors that were subsequently transcribed into the city spreadsheet provided for preliminary review, and what action was taken on invoices where respondent was noted as having placed the order or signed the city claim for payment form for orders. Ms. Labonte may also have failed to properly declare a conflict of interest. ORS 244120 requires an appointed official such as respondent to notify their supervisor in writing about any actual or potential conflict, and also to request that the supervisor dispose of the conflict. Ms. Labonte would have been met with an actual or potential conflict of interest each time she acted in her official capacity as a public official, and that action, decision, or recommendation would or could have been to the private pecuniary benefit or detriment of herself, her spouse, or a business with which she is associated. In the case before the commission, there is no indication that any such written notice nor written request for the appointing authority to dispose of the conflict was drafted prior to the 37 instances of CBDC work done for the city, either ordered or in which the claim was approved, or both, by respondent. Ms. Labonte's appointing authority, city manager Bruce St. Denis, acknowledged that no written notice of conflict had been provided, but noted that the city will do so in the future. The preliminary review report is in your meeting book with a recommendation to move the matter to investigation. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Kristen. This is the time now for commissioners to ask questions of our investigator. If such questions exist, please proceed. If anybody wants to ask a question, I'll see your hand or a voice. Ms. Hollister, please.
Thanks so much for the report. I'm trying to get my head around sort of a, I guess it's an argument made in the report on page 12. It talks about sometimes Ms. Labonte signed claim forms after the transaction was complete.
Correct.
And so I'm just trying to get my head around, I mean, I guess I understand the requirement of either, you know, an actual or potential conflict of interest with respect to an action, decision, or recommendation. So it seems like that's sort of a precursor. There has to trigger the conflict of interest, there has to be an action, decision, or recommendation. So I'm trying to understand how that applies in a case where you're signing something after the transaction is done, and how that could trigger a conflict of interest requirement, since it seems like you're not, I'm having a hard time seeing how that would benefit the business if the transaction has already occurred. Will you help me? What's your interpretation?
Some sort of ratification?
Sure.
Thanks, Sean. I'm really curious to hear our investigators' perception as well.
Sure. Couple of things. One is that at this point, oftentimes we're asking to move to investigation. We simply need more information, and I think I laid out in the report that this is, in my opinion, one of those times. We don't know at this point because we have conflicting information from different parties at the city about what the purpose of that claim approved by signature was. So until we can ascertain finally what that meant and what it appears to be from the limited number of invoices and claim forms I've received, is that prior to payment being issued to her own company, Ms. Levante was in a position of signing off and saying that the order matched the request made by the city, that the order received matched the claim made by the city, and therefore prior to payment being issued, she had to sign off, and in fact, that signature was then verified by her manager, by the city manager, to indicate that he approved her action of signing that claim form. So twofold. One is, I feel like we need more information to find out because, again, certainly there's muddy waters here where it's indicated she actually shouldn't have been signing that by their own policies. They created new policies in which she would no longer sign the claim form, which, again, is indicative of the fact that that's official action that they were trying to avoid. Second, again, if once payment is being generated by the city and then submitted to her own company, if there is a step she has to take to make that happen, it sounds like official action.
Thank you for that. I guess there is a little bit of ambiguity in the statute as to what an action, decision, or recommendation really means. And so, I mean, it seems like it's just a challenge we have to face as a commission. So thank you for that explanation. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Mr. Burson, please.
Yeah, I just wanted to add to that. I think you're right, Commissioner Hollister. But, you know, at this point right now, you know, we are not recommending finding any violations of a conflict of interest or a use of office. I mean, we're simply trying to move this into investigation so that we can get those answers for you before you have to make those decisions. So we'll make sure that they're there at the time of investigation has ended and that decision comes before you. If somebody isn't going to ask this, I will go ahead and also offer this up. When this complaint came in, it included, 11 different signs around the city that Ms. Levante may have been involved in, and I actually asked Ms. Kristen to expand that out to go back to 4 years, because it seems like this complainant, as you might remember, has had other signs before us in the past, and I basically, if this is what we're going to look at, I want to look at what's within our jurisdiction and everything that's looked at. So I kind of expanded this preliminary review to include everything that's happened in the last 4 years so that we can kind of get it one and done here and figure out what has happened. So in all fairness to Ms. Kristen, I gave her a ton more work, which I knew there was no way she was going to have all the answers for you folks within 30 days. So I kind of almost assured to have an investigation so you can have those answers. But I think this is the best way to do it as opposed to having them come in piecemeal one after the other. Because, like you said, this is the third time Ms. Levante's been before the commission within the last, 6 months?
Yep.
So we know she has a business that is a signed business. We know the city uses it. And so I just asked Ms. Christian if she could answer the question, what's happened in the last 4 years? So that's why it got kind of expanded.
Thank you, Mr. Burson. And Ms. Kristen, any other questions for our staff from commissioners? Hearing none, Ms. Labonte and Mr. Wolf, this is now your opportunity to speak to us. You may choose the order in which you would like to speak to us, so please proceed in the order you choose.
Excellent. So Mark Wolf on Karen's behalf. I don't believe Karen will be speaking today, but Karen, if you so choose, you're welcome to. So a little bit of background. This is the third time that Karen's in front of the commission, I believe in as many months, but it might have been a little bit longer. I was here last month, provided some background information on the complainant, and the complainant's what I consider to be a personal grudge or a personal vendetta. With Mr. Morris driving by her house, contacting the media. So just to give you an update, that continues. He's got an online petition demanding her removal. He's been at the city's downtown parking structures with signs and petitions. He's contacting state senators. He's contacted Karen's mother at her assisted living facility with the newspaper reporting on these very investigations that he is alleging. So this continues. This third complaint is yet another, tool in Mr. Morris's toolbox to continue his targeting and his harassment. So I just wanted to update the commission on that. So now to the merits. So we did have a complaint come in with 11 Facebook posts or screenshots of these Facebook posts. And I believe that all 11 of those were sufficiently addressed by both Karen and city staff. It wasn't clear to me in the preliminary report whether that was true or not, so I'm going to touch on those. Trevor Mount, the Assistant Public Works Director, in his statements confirms that of those 11 Facebook posts, of the ones in the Public Works Department, Trevor Mount handled. Karen had no involvement. Of those 11 Facebook posts, there were other departments that had received items from this business, the police, the HRAP, the emergency management departments. The city manager, Bruce St. Dennis, in his statement, confirms that Karen had no involvement. Those other departments handle those purchasing, so Karen, as the public works director, has no involvement in those. And then finally, there were a couple of the Facebook posts that incurred no money. The city didn't have to pay any money, such as the mural and the Born to Mow stickers. Those were free services. So of the 11 Facebook posts in the initial complaint, I believe that the city and Karen have addressed those and that Karen had no involvement. Now, to this entire list of all purchases of the between the city and Cannon Beach Design Company, I'd like to touch on that. I think I'd like to give a little bit of background on the city process on purchasing and processing of these claim forms, because I believe that we do have enough information provided by the city to demonstrate that there's nothing going on here. So the city process on purchasing. So a city staff member will, such as Trevor Mount and a lot of these as the assistant public works director, pick up the phone, call Cannon Beach Design Company, say, hey, we need two decals for this new bond mower that came in. They work together, they figure out the design, the company creates these, sends them to the city, and then this company creates an invoice and sends the city an invoice. So this invoice is where we have the ordered by information on this list. So the list that the city provided to Lisa has a column that says ordered by. This is simply looking at the invoice created by this business and looking at who they put into that field. I don't know how this business does it. I imagine there's a computer and they type in the address and who ordered it and where to ship it. So that invoice comes in, the city recorder initiates the claim form, and typically this claim form which you do have some examples of, will be sent to the person that actually made the order. So if we look at many of these, we see Trevor Mount's initials on the face of the invoice. And on none of these do we see Karen Levante's initial indicating that she ordered any of these. So this didn't occur every time. There are some invoices that don't have an initial indicating the person who ordered it is initialing it, saying, yes, I ordered these items. So then after the person who orders it initials it, then it goes to the department head. So in many instances, and it sounds like maybe I don't have the number in front of me, there's many of them that have Karen signing off as authorized by. So as I believe she and also the city manager, Bruce St. Denis, indicate, Karen's...
Unknown participant is now joining.
I just got a notice of a participant joining. I don't know if...
Sorry.
Shall I just continue?
Media.
Yes, sir.
Mr. Walsh, the participant is a member of the media with statutory access.
Okay, great. So now the claim form is in front of Karen, and Karen's role, as indicated by her boss, is to initial it, indicating that, yeah, the person who ordered it has the authority. So, for example, Trevor Mount has the authority to order some decals. And two, that the city actually received decals. So that's Karen's role. And then it would typically go to the city manager for his final sign-up. Now, this process was changed over the course of time, but it was not changed to avoid a Karen facing a conflict of interest. It was changed such that Karen's name would just simply not be on any written documents to avoid any confusion. It wasn't to avoid Karen being faced with a conflict of interest. So 2 points on this list. One was the ordered by column, which I touched on earlier. Again, I just want to stress that the spreadsheet that was sent was created by the city in response to Lisa asking for a full list of all transactions, and the ordered by is not the city actually saying who ordered it. It is looking at the invoice and inserting who the business put on the section of where it says ship to. So there's no city document. There's nobody at the city is asserting Karen has ordered anything. So when we saw this list, the city took this list and specifically the ones that were ordered by or had Karen's name in the ordered by list, and took that to Trevor Mount, the Assistant Public Works Director, who in his statement confirms that he was actually the one that ordered these. So of all the, if we look at the list, every single transaction that has Karen's name on there is simply from the company's invoice, and Trevor Mount, the Assistant Public Works Director, has given you a written statement certifying that he is the one that ordered these. Not Karen. So I'm asking you to weigh the evidence of a written statement from staff heavier than the circumstantial evidence of this business just simply putting in a name so that the product and eventually gets to the right person at the city to use this stuff. So then, you know, now we're here with this authorized by column on the spreadsheet, and I think I've touched on this a lot. This is just Karen simply confirming that the person who ordered it, you know, has the ability to order it, and the city got what they got. You know, it's analogous, I believe, to, you know, somebody orders a couple of spoons from a business, and the person that those spoons come in or utensils come in, the person that ordered it signs off on the invoice, yes, I ordered 2 spoons. Karen's job is to determine if the utensils received were spoons or were they forks. There's no decision there that could or would lead to a financial benefit to Karen or her business. And I guess finally, you know, the preliminary report mentions that more information is needed, or that the actual invoices or claims forms are needed. I don't believe that to be the case. There's no dispute that Karen initialed some of those claim forms, but she did so simply to determine, you know, if the utensil was a spoon or was it a fork. That she is not faced with a decision or action that could or would, you know, lead to a financial benefit. And I think that we have everything in front of you to give you sufficient evidence and information to dismiss this complaint. Happy to answer any questions. Thanks for your time.
Thank you, Mr. Wolf. Ms. Labonte, would you like to speak to the commission, or should we proceed to questions?
You can proceed. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Now is the time for commissioners to ask Mr. Wolf and Ms. Labonte any questions that have been prompted by Mr. Wolf's presentation. So please seek to be recognized if you have a question.
Mr. Chair, I do have a question.
Please, Commissioner Sosa.
All right, Mr. Wolf, so it says in here on page 7 that the scope of this investigation from a time frame wise is June 2017 through March of 2021. And then on the next page with the Trevor Mount statement, he said that since March 9th, 2018, he was in charge of all signs needed for public work. So this may be a question for you as well as for our investigator, but were there situations where your client was taking action between June 2017 and early March 2018 before Trevor came on board where she was taking any action that might have presented either a conflict of interest or the potential for a misuse of office?
Mr. Wolf, please, if you have a response, now's the time.
You bet. Thank you. I'm looking at the spreadsheet here, I suppose. Excuse me. So I believe that Karen's only involvement would have been to initial the authorized buy on the claim. I don't have any information to suggest that she was purchasing any forms or calling this business to help facilitate, you know, the products or services. But I'm trying to look at some of the dates here.
Ms. Kristen, you have any comment or question or response, please?
Yes, I again believe this is part of why an investigation is warranted here, because what I'm looking at is a spreadsheet that was provided by the city. I understand that there's differing opinions on who actually ordered, but again, looking through, the majority of these products and services, including several of the ones mentioned in the original 11 Facebook post complaint, that indicate they were ordered by Karen Labonte. Now, again, I understand Mr. Wolf is stating that the spreadsheet was prepared by Mr. St. Denis simply in response to me. However, when you look at the invoices that were submitted, all but one of them indicate ordered by Karen, shipped to Karen on the invoice. Several of those occurred after the time frame Mr. Sosa mentioned. So I think there's some confusion about who was doing the ordering, at least as to the vendor, who was continuing to indicate that these were ordered by Karen, to the extent that, again, in the spreadsheet prepared by the city, they indicated that Ms. Labonte continued to order things for the public works and continued as well to sign off on them. The issue of signing off on the claim form, to me, again, is the last step before payment and indicates that there was action taken well after the time frame raised by, Commissioner Sosa.
Commissioner Sosa, any follow-up?
No, thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Commissioner Hollister, please.
Thank you, Chair. I just wanted to note that I feel like the complexity of this case just brings home what a great idea our recent legislative concept was to increase the preliminary investigation period. So I just want to thank staff for their forethought on that request.
Let the record reflect that the vice chair agrees with Commissioner Hollister. Mr. Wolf, did you have any response to this last interchange? If you do, now's the time.
Yeah, I'd just like to stress that of this, of the, again, of the list that the city created, you know, the city looked at every single time on there that Karen was listed under the ordered column, took it to Trevor Mount, and he asserts that that he was the one that handled all of these. So, you know, we've got a public works staff member saying, you know, I did all of this, versus an invoice from a company simply filling in a box that they probably have to fill in before the form can be, you know, processed. So, but I guess that's all I'd like to add.
Thank you. Seeing no other hands raised, this is now the time for the commission to discuss this issue and move toward action. I will accept anybody who wants to speak first, like Mr. Lindsay. Commissioner Lindsay, please.
Yeah, I'd like to have ask Director Burson a question. He stated that we expanded this, the scope of this, to 4 years to do a one and done. My question is if we were to either vote against proceeding now, or if we were to proceed and then later dismiss, do both of those circumstances prevent this from coming again, being raised again, because we expanded to 4 years, or just does one of those prevent that, kind of an estoppel procedure? Does that make sense?
It does. Commissioner Lindsay, what I believe is that the preliminary review that's before you right now is on the complaint, and the 11 original signs that was brought to us. What I asked Lisa to do was try to expand that out, and so I believe if you did not go forward with this, if you dismiss at this point, other than the 11 that you have dismissed in this case, any of those other ones that are on the list would be, I believe anybody could complain about those, and we would be right back where we're at today looking at those specific ones. And so my goal was that this complainant seems to have an interest in Ms. Labonte and the sign company that she and her husband own together, and that we would look at everything within our jurisdiction. But I need to be able to answer those questions through investigation, so that then it actually becomes something where the only way they could complain is if they could show us new information that was out there. So I don't believe it's included unless we get to an investigation. That's why I want to do that. I also would like, we got some of the invoices in, but we don't have all the invoices. I'd like to have all the invoices to match up with the list to give you folks all the paperwork that's before it, and then Mr. Wolf and Ms. Labonte can dispute that, you know, why that name is on there, like they're kind of doing right now. We have, you know, Ms. Labonte's name on, but it was actually this other person. They can have those disputes, but it really needs an investigation to look at it. I said, otherwise, I think we're subject to more complaints coming in on this same subject matter, and you'll be making those decisions at a later time.
Thank you. That fully answers my question. That's really helpful, and that you explained my thought process, as I think it would be advantageous to just get to the bottom of this fully, finally, and be done with it. So I'm inclined to proceed for that purpose. I acknowledge Ms. Labonte's and Mr. Wolf's arguments, and think they're very persuasive, but I'd like to fully and finally resolve this by proceeding.
Any other comments from commissioners before we proceed? Questions,
yes,
comments? Commissioner Sosa, please.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think that we have here records that are on their face kind of confusing. And I realize that this spans a course of many years, that practices changed, that new procedures were put in place. But I think that there is enough here to where I think that it warrants us looking into it. And while I'm very sympathetic to Ms. Levante having to undergo this process further, and clearly having a complainant who is making these complaints in a lot of venues, I'm sympathetic to that, but I think that in the end, you know, it would be perhaps to her benefit as well to have us go forward, look at this in every respect, and then be able to, if the commission so determines, be able to dismiss it at that time with all the information in hand. Or if not, if there was a technical violation, which it seems here, just in reading this, that, you know, at worst there were some technical violations where people were aware of the situation. Perhaps they didn't handle it in exactly the way they should have. But, you know, in the end, I think if there were to be some violations, perhaps a letter of education might be warranted. Or if not, then just a dismissal entirely. So,
oops.
If you can hear me, we have a glitch in the system. And our magic fingers are trying to resolve that, if you can hear me.
You should just automatically try to get back in, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's trying right now. Mm-hmm. If it doesn't, we might have to call in. Mm-hmm.
If I leave, then everybody gets disconnected and try to go back in.
No.
I think this is an item that ought to be solved by our legal counsel.
Yeah,
it's really unconstitutional.
Thank you. Meeting.
Rather than just sitting here and waiting, I'm just going to go ahead and leave it and
leave
try to
and
get back in.
Then stay rejoined.
Okay.
Oh, dear.
So our bandwidth.
People coming up now, in theory, Monica?
Yeah, we're trying to.
No,
so apparently our bandwidth just dropped us.
I think I'm going to excuse myself and go put a collared shirt on so I can look a little bit more professional.
Okay.
Folks, if
please
you can hear me.
I welcome your informality.
Can you hear me? Can you hear us now? Let me,
yeah, can you hear us?
On behalf of Microsoft Teams, let me apologize. I believe, subject to concurrence from our staff, I believe we're back on. Mr. Wolf, are you able to hear?
Yes, I can hear, and I have a question.
Hang on just a second. Hang on just a second. Let's make sure where everybody's back on.
Okay.
In terms of five commissioners.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, exercise the pride of the chair and tolerate, if you allow me to use that word, Mr. Wolf, your next question. Maybe I should say your last question.
Yeah, my last question is again on process. So if the commission's unable to dismiss this entirely today, I guess I'd just like maybe to hear the reasoning why moving to an investigation will then allow that the commission to investigate complaints that haven't been filed regarding all of these purchases.
Mr. Brisson, would you?
I was going to ask
Mr. Lindley's question.
Mr. Brisson, would you answer that question, and then we'll proceed?
In my statute book.
Okay. Just for a pause here, just for a moment to get a statute book, and so relax for a moment, everybody.
260.
And this is the last question before we act.
And I'm looking at 5A.
Decide whether to act, and if so, how.
It's taking me longer to limp down there than.
Yes. Okay, when ready, Mr. Burson, please proceed.
Maybe you guys can help me with this.
5A.
Oh, is it 5A?
We got the last sentence.
We got that from Josh. I'm not going to.
I was going to say, it looks like he's got it highlighted on the screen. Just peer over his shoulder.
Well, no, I'm talking about the one that talks about that this can't come back. The
last sentence of 5A.
Mr. Nasby, do you have want to read the last sentence you've referred to, please? Well, our legal counsel, Josh Nasby, please.
I'm happy to share my thoughts, but I'll defer to the executive director. But the last sentence is, after dismissal or rescission, the commission may not take further action involving the person unless a new and different complaint is filed, or action on the commission's own motion is undertaken based on different conduct. So again, I'll defer to the executive director, but my understanding is that we've got a complaint alleging X violations, and the remainder of the violations would proceed on the commission's own motion, and then at that stage, sort of jeopardy, if you will, would attach pursuant to 5A.
Right, and you folks haven't done an own motion on those additional signages, or I guess there's business cards or something. Mm-hmm. The additional work that they had done is not part of this initial preliminary view, and so only the initial 11 would be dismissed today, and therefore anything other than those 11 would still be the subject to any kind of complaint that came in. And so if we received a complaint on anything that wasn't included in the initial complaint that we're looking at, then we would need to open that up and take a look at those issues again. That's why I said you'd be back before us. Now, if we do the full investigation, which includes everything in there, and the commission makes a determination on all the information that's there, then the complaint would have to come up with a new subject, which would be anything that's done forward of today, or forward of that complaint anyway, which we assume there isn't happening because we've changed the procedures in the city of Cannon Beach. And so that was my idea, was to try to, like I said, include everything that this business may have done that could be subject to a complaint. And I don't feel as though, I feel that we would have to open that up if a complaint came in on anything other than the original 11 signs that was put into the complaint.
Thank you, Mr. Burson. This is still the time for commission consideration and action. So in light of all that's transpired in the last while, I will ask whether any of my colleagues are prepared to make a motion. If so, please so indicate.
Mr. Chair, I will make a motion that we proceed with staff recommendation toward investigation, not only on the original 11 complaints, but also on these other matters that have been brought up during the time frame indicated.
Thank you for that motion, Commissioner Sosa. Any questions or comments from commissioners on the motion? Ready for a vote? Our clerk will now call the roll on Commissioner Sosa's motion.
Commissioner Lindsay?
Aye.
Commissioner Sosa?
Aye.
Commissioner Hollister?
Aye.
Chair Mason?
Chair Mason's hand is up, voting aye.
Thank you. And Vice Chair Fiscom?
Fiscom votes aye.
Motion passes.
Let me just, Mr. Wolf, before you leave, do a quick parenthetical just to emphasize, as I often do, that what we have decided to do is to move on to conduct an investigation as to whether there have been any violations. We have not found there to be any violations yet. That, for me, is a very important distinction that everybody involved needs to be aware of. We have not found a violation yet. We're continuing our investigation. That said, Mr. Wolf, Ms. Labonte, thank you for your participation this morning. With that, we'll move on to other executive session items unless my colleagues have any further comments. Okay. Thank you all. We'll proceed to a further executive session. Mr. Wolf, Ms. Labonte, thank you.
Yes, thank you for your time.